And I want to welcome everyone to today's Success Circle Q&A. Today is Tuesday, June 22nd, and welcome everyone. I want to welcome also new Success Circle members, if this is your first call. I'm Lisa Minnini, President of Accelerate Associates, and this is the Q&A call where each month you have an opportunity to get your questions answered about growing your business with less effort on purpose, and any questions you have about growing your business or as you work through the Entrepreneurial Edge system, you can ask it here. So what you need to do to get your question answered is simply just email info@accelerateassociates.com. Again, that's E-X-C-E-L-L-E-R-A-T-E, associates.com. And what happens is we collect all of the questions and we put them together. And a lot of times when people are submitting their questions, we tend to get, similarities or themes that go on. So don't be afraid to submit your question or you think it's silly. It's never silly. We want to make sure that you get your questions answered and you can move forward. And if you have that question, chances are there's other people that have that same or similar question. In fact, that is what happens today as well. Before we get into the questions, though, I want to remind everyone of the upcoming free teleseminar, Get All the Clients You Need Automatically, the 7 Amazingly Simple Must-Have Strategies to Continuously Fill Your Prospect Pipeline. That's going to happen on July 14th. Again, that's July 14th. It's a Wednesday at 7 p.m. in the evening. And you might want to mark your calendars. And to register for that, simply go to accelerateassociates.com, go under Attend Events, and just click on the calendar for July 14th, and you'll see the link there so you can sign up and reserve your spot. So it's not too early to do that, so go ahead and register for that teleseminar. We expect there's going to be there's already a big turnout, so register for that. Okay, the first question that we received is, not the first one, but the first one we're going to take today is from Terry Williams, who said, how do you define your niche? I want to work with small business owners, specifically people that are starting out. Great question, Terry. Thank you so much for submitting it. And this is going to be kind of a long answer to your question because I want to make sure to give you as much information as possible so that you can really drill down what that niche is. Now, for those people that attended the Entrepreneurial Edge System 3-day intensive, you really want to go through the preferred client profile again and really look at all those questions again and make sure that you answer all those. Oftentimes, that's going to help you answer that, that niche question. But if you don't have that, and there's also the BizBoost self-study program that's coming up, but I want to give you 4 other things to think about when defining your niche. The first one is the place, the geographic location. Now, sometimes if there are insurance agents out there, they have a geographic location in which they do business. Now, with the internet, you can expand your business considerably, especially if you have no geographic limitations because of what it is that you do. There's certain certifications. Sometimes people just do one specific geographic location. So think about the place and how far-reaching that is for your preferred clients or for your niche. The second is think about the industry. So what special need do you specifically fill in your industry? What problems do you solve that are currently outstanding in your industry? Okay. 3, you also want to take a look at your customers. Who are they? Very specifically honing in on your customer base can help you define your niche. And number four, any of the methods. So how do you perform your business? Now, remember that just because you might perform it one-on-one doesn't mean you can't perform it in groups. It just depends on what your business model looks like. So don't let your current business model dictate the niche you're going to select, but rather take a look at how you can best serve a specific niche and how you're going to do that. Now, a niche market is really a subset of a market that, you know, your specific product or service is focusing on. And a lot of times people will take an external look at, oh, which niche should I select or work with? And part of that external is doing research, and that's a good, you know, place to find out what your niche should be. For some of you, you might want to look and establish a database. Maybe you already have a database of customers. And so by looking at that database of customers, notice the most active clients. Are these businesses? Are these individuals? Take note of the repeat customers that you have, the people that you do business with the most. And you also may want to look at, what are they buying? The biggest source of what it is that they're buying of the products or services. And again, that's if you have a database. Also look at, your capability in serving that particular niche. Now, for some of you, you may want to switch your niche. And by doing that, you have to assess, can I serve that niche in an appropriate way? And if not, what needs to be in place to be able to serve that niche? One of the other things also to do is when you take a look at your current clientele, what are those attributes that your preferred clients have? You know, and be very specific about that. What are the ones that you historically have not wanted to work with? What are those attributes? So you know exactly what you want to also stay away from, and identify the ones that you do want to work with. You also want to make sure your niche is willing to pay. I know a lot of coaches that really wanted to work with people, and I'll say, it's just an example in career transition, but there was a couple of things that they didn't have in their business model that caused them to really struggle for many years in that specific niche. First of all, understand that niche. When people lose their jobs, they get into that restrictive thinking, right? And so that scarcity thinking. And so they don't want to necessarily spend it on things that they feel might not be essential for everyday living. And so a lot of the coaches that I've known really had difficulty with that, but they also offered very high-end packages. And so that in and of itself would have them niche to maybe even a specific portion of individuals that were in career transition. So they found out that their capability to serve many people was inhibited by their business model, number one, because they didn't have choices. They didn't offer a variety of price point choices. And second of all, they found that, oh, I needed to work with people that are in the high end that maybe have retirement packages. That's who I will niche with and work. But they had to find that out because they found that their niche market wasn't willing to pay for the services they had in the model they had it. So remember that when you're looking at a niche, you also need to look at your capability in serving that niche, and are there certain things you need to tweak in your specific business model that would help serve that particular niche. And if you want to serve that niche on a really wide scale, make sure you have the choices that so that they can select in how they want to work with you. Because remember that it's important to look at leveraged and passive income and offering choices. So the three things, again, that you want to be able to offer is you want to create relationships, create that trust, and create choices for your niche. You can also do online searches and to really research that niche. A really great way when you're looking at different niches is, you know, see how many online pages come up when you put in a keyword search. You know, how many businesses, what's your competition out there catering to your niche market? And by doing that, you're going to see, you know, is that a niche, or even is there something specific about that niche I can go into, or maybe you decide after doing that research you completely want to stay away from that niche. So it's important to do some research. Now, if you're treading new ground in a market, in something that hasn't been out there, test your assumption about it. How do you know it hasn't been out there? Or even a portion of it is out there. So you might want to do some research, asking around, asking your referral networks. And those are all sort of that external filter that you can look at to define your niche. There's also the internal filter to defining your niche. And what I mean by that is a lot of people look externally at the research data, and it's good to look at trends, what's happening. Certainly with healthcare, there's a lot happening in the, you know, with the baby boomers aging, one of the largest populations. You know, they're going to need certain needs. So there's a lot, because of that trend, because the baby boomers are aging, there's a lot of opportunity there. So you want to take a look at population trends. You want to take a look at geographic trends. Where are people moving? You know, is there greater growth in certain geographic areas? All of that is going to help you decide on a niche. That's externally, and that's all really good to do, but you also need to take a look at the internal perspective in selecting your niche. For example, do you have a passion? Do you have a passion about working with a specific group of individuals? You know, a lot of people may want to work with the elderly, or they may want to work with, you know, non-manufacturing facilities, or, you know, some people want to work with, you know, certainly small businesses, but even small businesses have their niche. Do you want to work with solopreneurs, you know, solo practices? Do you want to work with home-based businesses? Do you want to work with home-based businesses that are multi-level marketing? So is there, number one, is there a passion? So take a look at that internal compass that you have, that internal passion, and say, and why? Why do you want to work with that particular group? Then go back and ask yourself, too, you know, is this group willing to pay? Because you don't want to get down the line and figure out, uh-oh, wait a minute. And is there, you know, and they, but again, what are they willing to pay, number one? And number two, what does your business model look like so that they can work with you? So take a look at that internal passion, and that's number one. Also take a look when you're defining your niche with, do you provide a solution to someone that, you know, a place where you were at, you know, maybe 5 years ago, 3 years ago? So are you on the other side offering a solution, but you can talk to the people 3 to 5 years ago because you've been in their situation. You know what it's like to be in that situation, or you know what it's like to have that, maybe that kind of business. Maybe you worked in that industry before. Because the reason that is so powerful, especially when you're selecting a niche, is because when you create your marketing materials and your mesmerizing messages, you can say, yeah, you know what? I know how you feel. I've been there. And so it becomes a very natural niche for you to get into because you provide a solution to them and you know where they've been because you've been there. So that's going to be important too in selecting a niche, is just take a look internally. And again, a lot of people are looking externally. So that inner entrepreneur, that part, those experiences that you've had, think about those experiences that you've had, and then going after some of those, you know, that specific niche, and being specific enough on your preferred client profile so you know exactly and precisely who you're targeting. Then once you do that, again, you want to make sure that it's very specific on your website. The other part, too, when you're selecting a niche is, for example, you can really go after who your strategic partners are. So when you get really clear about your niche, you can select people that are going to then be interested in your products and services because you know where they hang out. I'll give you an example. I'll just use multi-level marketing individuals, and usually people in multi-level marketing often have difficulty selecting a niche. But if they think about, gee, where were they 3 to 5 years ago? Most people get into multi-level marketing because that particular product or service really speaks to them, because they maybe have had a situation that product or service solves, and they're very passionate about it. But yet when they get into multi-level marketing, they get confused about selecting a niche. So that's when it's important to go internally. But when you know your niche, once you've identified that niche, and I'll use multi-level marketing, let's say it's a health product. And so let's say you're in a health product, multi-level marketing, and, you know, you could even look at, you know, some of your downlines, they call them, some of your downlines, and decide that, hey, I see a lot of, physical education teachers, they're getting into this multi-level marketing of this great product, this health product. Great, I'm going to go after education, you know, teachers. That could be your niche. And then you can look at strategic partners. Strategic partners might be health workout facilities, you know, where they email their, you know, clientele about your products. So you can, once you decide on that niche, you can, you know, get strategic partners under your belt and collaborate with them. So it becomes very easy, but you have to be very passionate about that. And again, yes, do your research. Yes, go externally. Yes, find out about the trends that are happening in the world. You know, in certain age groups, in populations, and that's going. But also take a look internally. Where were you 3 to 5 years ago, or even 10 years ago, and what solution do you provide to that niche? Where do they hang out? What are you passionate about? Some people want, you know, have a product or solution just to work with women, or just to work with men, or men over 50. Again, important to be very specific about that niche. So Terry, thank you so much for your question about defining your niche. I hope I've given you some information in making that possible. And just as a reminder, when you do that, it's so much easier, by the way, when you identify your niche, so much easier to define your marketing materials, your websites, your blog, everything about it, because you're specifically talking to them. It's just not anyone who. It's specifically to them, and they're drawn to it, and they find you, and you become that subject matter expert that they know, like, and trust, and you provide them great content and information. So that, I think, hopefully, Terry, I've answered your question. Okay, the next couple of questions that came in kind of dealt with the same theme. The one question is, I'm feeling scattered and not creating results I need. How can I stay focused each and every day? So they're feeling scattered and not creating the results they need, and they want to stay focused each and every day. The second one was, I'm running in many different directions and, quote, don't have time to focus on my business, especially the business development day. Life gets in the way. Any suggestions for getting refocused? Well, I've got a lot. And for those of you who are feeling scattered and feel like your schedule is controlling you versus you controlling your schedule, I do have a lot of things that I want to not only remind you about, but also give you some additional resources, tips, and techniques that you can use. First of all, I want you to think about your hardwiring, your natural hardwiring. Now, for those of you that attended the 3-day event, you're going to want to do everything all at once. And you might get discouraged because you can't get it implemented immediately. Again, remember, if your natural hardwiring is to want everything yesterday, you're going to become impatient with yourself, and you know, you might find yourself getting into old behaviors and habits. So I would caution you to make sure that you're patient with yourself and that you're really focusing on what the priorities are. One of the main things that is going to help you is the checklist that is in the back of the resources binder for the Entrepreneurial Edge System. Also, I would ask that, what are some of the tasks or habits that you might have gotten back into that you made a commitment to yourself that you would change? Are you actively changing them and utilizing all of your resources to do that? So what I also find is sometimes people will try to make the changes, but then they'll get back into that, you know, that excuse mode, that, you know, not taking PAR, P-A-A-R, power, accountability, authority, and responsibility for the results they want to achieve and the life they want to lead. Part of that comes in because they'll say, I don't have time. I don't have, you know, life gets in the way. Well, I would ask, how robust is your blueprint, your business blueprint that you're using? It's, you know, one page. I've heard from many of you who use that one page every single day. You're looking at it. You make sure that you're working only on your priorities. And those people are creating, you know, a lot of momentum and a lot of results because they have it in front of them each and every day. So that's a tool and a resource for you. Make sure that blueprint is completed, filled out. If there's any gaps in it, that will help keep you focused. Number two, also take a look at the checklist that you received. The checklist in the back of the resources area is also going to help you work through everything that you indicated that you wanted to achieve. A couple of things, make sure your goals too, your 3 to 5 goals, are very clear to you. Because if they're not, then you're going to be easily distracted. The other things that we discussed are the different formulas. Each and every day, remember, think about the feelings that you're having each and every day. Is it panic? Is it, you know, desperation? Is it anxiety? Think about that, because then you're going to manifest those same things around you. Or are you focusing on using visualization? Are you focusing on this conscious thoughts? Remember the principle of conscious thought. What are you telling yourself every day? And there were four principles that we covered. Number one is the principle of control. You know, 10% is what happens to you, 90% is how you react to it. And so the principle of control was not about being in control in as much as it was about how you're reacting to things. Are you taking control? Are you utilizing the resources that are available to you? Are you delegating and leveraging? Are you systematizing? Are you creating boundaries? Not only for yourself, but for others. Many home-based and solopreneurs that work from home have difficulty with staying focused because they get distracted. They haven't systematized their emails. When they send them, when they respond to them, or when they receive them, their phone calls. So taking a look and testing some of your assumptions about that. So the principle of control, the principle of focus. Remember, what you focus on, you find. What you focus on grows and increases. What you focus on seems real. And what you focus on, you ultimately become. So what are you focused on? Are you focused on that blueprint, that business blueprint of yours? Or did you get back into some of your old habits and belief systems? Remember that the principle of belief, what you expect to happen, then it will happen. And then the fourth one, the principle of conscious thought. What are you telling yourself every day? Because it's real easy to get back into those same old habits of negative self-talk. But until you develop a new habit each day, and it's about 10 minutes a day to really refocus. But most people get in the habit of getting up, turning on the computer, and looking at their emails and what they need to respond to versus what is it that I need to achieve today that will get me closer to the 3 to 5 business goals that I have set for myself for this year. So just a small 10-minute change can really impact your business blueprint and the execution of it. So I want each of you to think about, especially the people that submitted those questions, you're feeling scattered, you're not creating the results, think about that business blueprint, think about the preferred client profile, utilize those, go back to those, consider what your hardwiring is. What are those conscious thoughts? And for some of you, use affirmations. What are some of those affirmations? What do you need to delegate? What do you need to shift? What do you need to cluster? So what are some of those things that, you know, you can systematize? You know, online bill, you know, maybe your online bills. Maybe you consolidate some of them into one bill. Really leveraging your resources. And when you say you don't have time, think about that. What are you making time for? Are you giving yourself some development priority? Now, I've heard back from several Success Circle members who've said to me, you know, I use the Q&A calls to really to ask any questions, but I use the high content calls and I make commitments between those. So I know in 2 weeks I have a high content call. I've got to get this, 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 and this done. And from month to month, from high content call to high content call, I promise myself that I'll get this, 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 and this done. And I schedule a laser coaching call with you. And so what it does is it accelerates the achievements because they're utilizing the resources. So I encourage you, for everybody who's on this call today, utilize not only the Q&A calls, but the laser coaching calls and the high content calls, and make commitments to yourself in between to make those a priority and utilize those to get things done in your business. Okay, utilize those calls as a trigger to say, oh, wait a minute, I promised myself I get this, and this done between, you know, this month and the next month, or between the Q&A call and the high content call. So, which is the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month. And then using the recurring function on your calendar to make that happen. And make all of the time that you need happen. So whether it's executing your marketing mix and have your marketing happen on a regular basis, that's also going to be important to systematize. So those are just some of the things that I'm looking at, some of these other questions that are going to help you with staying focused. Those are some of the tools that are used. So I encourage you to utilize them. So think about a different habit. One very successful entrepreneur that I know is he takes 10 minutes each day, each morning, rather than listening to sort of what he calls the negative news, to read a self-help or development, self-development, even just 10 minutes. He says, I just spend 10 minutes a day doing that to get in the right frame of mind. Another entrepreneur that I know focuses only on the priorities that day. What are the 3 to 5 priorities that I have this day that are part of my goals for my business, and getting those completed? So he knows very specifically what those are, and he writes those, and he takes the first 10 minutes not to look at his email, but to do that first. So changes on the inside, remember, make changes on the inside, the outside will change. The last question that I think we can take today, which is a fairly long long answer to this question, but it's a good one. It's, what is a good way to set up an affiliate program or plan? What's a good way to set up an affiliate program or plan? First of all, let me explain for some of you who may not know what an affiliate program is. An affiliate program is essentially where you pay someone else to a commission for marketing your products and services. And it's a lot easier, I think, now with the technology that's out there to do this than it ever was. And it's a great way to leverage the resources and leverage your referral partners, because when they utilize their affiliate link, for example, that they're assigned, and they talk about your products and services, and some of these may even be your customers, it has that third-party third-party credibility that says, you know, I've, you know, tasted this product, I've used this product, and I can tell you this is great, and they're launching, you know, this new product, and you've got to have this. And so they're telling their list of people. What it does for you is, you obviously don't have to pay them until you have a sale. So, and again, this is really great for small businesses, because affiliate programs have really layered the playing field, you know, that historically big businesses and corporations have had. But with affiliate programs, it creates a very easy process for small businesses to really increase their income pretty quickly. There are a lot of different resources that would help you create an affiliate program. Now, the first one is there's a service, what's called a service bureau out there, and they can help you from, you know, all the administration functions like sending out checks or tracking and reporting. One such place is something called Commission Junction. I think it's their www.cj.com, and they typically will handle all the administrative tasks of running an affiliate program. But there is also affiliate software program like the Kickstart Cart, which many of you know I use, and it has a built-in affiliate program. And what's nice about that is, you know, they kind of already done the work for you. There's automated messages, and really all you need to do is set up the affiliate link on your website and invite people to become affiliates. Now, who do you want to become affiliates? Well, those people who would have a vested interest in supporting your products and services. So think strategically about who you're asking and what kind of list that they might have to be able to support your particular product or service. Now, there's a couple things in building your affiliate program that you would want to take into consideration. The first thing is you want to obviously have a good product or service, so that, you know, kind of goes without saying, but you want to have a good product or service so that your affiliates, too, understand what it is they're helping to market. Two, you also want to really think about your commission levels. Why? Because that's going to incentivize people to market. So you want to make it large enough, obviously, so that they help market your business. But and there's also you know, maybe you don't want to do an affiliate program, but you can do a referral program. You can still incentivize people without having an affiliate program, even though an affiliate program is easy to implement with Kickstart Cart, but you can have something as simple as, you know, a gift certificate or something, a referral plan, whatever that looks like. But in an affiliate program, not only with commissions, there's different tiers. So you can have tier one. Typically, a tier one, you're going to incentivize with a greater percentage for that product. Now, digital products, if you have digital products, it's a little easier to incentivize at a higher rate than, say, a physical product, because there's usually more expenses as a result. But tier one affiliates will typically be incentivized at a higher rate than, say, a tier two. So this is not a multi-level marketing type of situation. It's more of where you want to incentivize. Tier two level typically is incentivized at a much lower level. And again, the purpose of that is you don't want necessarily somebody trying to recruit other affiliates as a way of, you know, creating a team for themselves. You want affiliates that are that are going to be out there actively. Unless you certainly want to create a multi-level marketing type of situation. But with an affiliate program, typically you're looking at that first tier having the most amount of percentage. Now, what percentage? That depends. That depends on, is a physical product. if it's a physical product, what are your expenses? Is it a service? If so, what kind of service is it? Who are your strategic affiliates with that service? You know, is there a break-even point? If so, what is that break-even point? So you really, it is much easier to start off low and to increase than it would be to have a higher percentage and having to decrease it. So just remember that as you're setting up your affiliate program. And you can determine, you know, what would motivate somebody. Now, if it's a high-end product, you might have a lower percentage, but that lower percentage also results. So if it's a $100 product, you might have a 10% affiliate commission. Or if it's a $600 product, you know, you might even have a lower commission level, whatever that is. But again, you want to take into consideration too, what are your expenses associated with that? You also want to make it very easy for your affiliate. So what this means is when you have an affiliate program, you want to make it easy for them to market your products and services. So what does this mean? You want to have maybe emails that they can just cut and paste from the affiliate section and send out that easy. You want to have banners that are easy for them to put on their websites, for example. And make it easy. Links. You want to have links for them. Very easy for them just to cut and paste and send out. You also want to be very clear as to when you're launching certain products or services so that your affiliates can help you with that. Giving enough lead time is critical. Now, some people just want a week lead time. Other people want, you know, more than a week. You're really going to have to gauge that based on your relationship with your affiliates. So you've got to determine who your strategic affiliates are and how much lead time they want for any products or services. For me, it's varied. I've had affiliates say, don't give me more than a week, and others that say, you've got to give me more than a week. So I try to do kind of a, excuse me, a happy medium. Excuse me. Let's see here. There are ways to directories to get announce your affiliate program, and I'll give you some of those affiliate programs. Or some of those links right now. Some directories include, let's see, quick.com. There's refer-it.com. There's affiliatesdirectory.com, affiliatesdirectory.com, referralincome.com. Let's see, affiliatematch.com, and so those are some affiliate directories to announce. Now, if you don't want to announce it to all of those, there's sort of this master system. It's obviously you'd have to pay for it, but it's called affiliateannounce.com, affiliateannounce. AFFILIATE announce ANNOUNCE.com, and they'll apparently, I don't have experience with it, but I do know other people who have, and they'll do the announcing for you of your affiliate program. So those are some resources that are available to you as well. And again, your affiliates are going to become those raving fans that you want for your products and services. So when you're looking at developing relationships with your affiliates, look at strategically who would be best what is the vested interest in them helping you with your products and services? Just because somebody has a big list doesn't necessarily mean that they would be your best affiliate. Look at places that would have a vested interest. It would make perfect sense for them to want to do this because it would be easy for them. Maybe you're going after the same niche, but they're not a competitor of yours. So they may be a great affiliate, kind of that super affiliate or that strategic a strategic affiliate. One of the other ways, too, is or one of the other things to think about when you have an affiliate is to make sure that there is some sort of thank you, some appreciation when they are out there and they are marketing for you. And sometimes what I've seen done, what I've done is different discounts, different ways of just saying thank you and, hey, I appreciate this and this is my special gift to you and thanks for all you've done, and it's something that's meaningful for them. Whether, you know, maybe it could be, I don't know, but something that's meaningful to them. You know, for some people, they give a mug, you know, a mug or, you know, something that that person, their affiliate could use. So it's always nice to say thank you. So just to recap there, a lot of resources for you for the affiliates. Let's see, ClickQuick, I think I've mentioned all of these, Affiliate Match, SiteCache. I don't know if I mentioned SiteCache.com as an affiliate, but they will help announce your affiliate program. What's better, though, is if you can also do business with an affiliate who knows you. Maybe one, they could be your customer, a client of yours that have utilized your services or your products because they know you, so they can speak from personal experience. Those are most optimal. So once you get your preferred client profile, once you get your marketing mix, you're very clear about that. Identify your stakeholders, identify your strategic partners, and identify some of those strategic partners as your affiliates. And that would be a more optimal way of identifying who your affiliate partners are. So think strategically about it. Who would have a vested interest in helping you? And of course, you're supplying them with commissions, which is great because, as you know, you're helping each other out. Okay. That's another question. I'm just going through some of the questions here. A lot of them lately about time management. Again, just remember with that time management to think about, you know, how well you're systematizing. What are you executing? Are you executing your marketing mix? Have you systematized your schedule? Are there resources that you can use at your disposal? Think about what some of those are, and think about too, you know, what excuses are you making too? You know, hold yourself accountable to those. If you're focused on not having enough time, you're not going to have enough time. But if you know, what are you focused on? Are you focused on what time you do have and making the most of that time that you do have? Because I know there are competing activities. Okay, let's see here. We have, let's see if I've got anybody. Well, we have a few minutes left over, so I'm going to open it up, and anybody who might have a question, feel free to ask. Okay, is there anyone else who has a follow-up question? Don't forget to star six yourself to unmute yourself. Everybody's quiet today. Any questions? I can. I'm sorry, Mike, you cut out there, so, and I've got, there's a lot of feedback, so I'm going to have to put us back on conference, but say that again, say your question again. So, what was the question? Okay, tell me what you mean by increasingly escalate minimum bids. Great question. I'm going to have to put us back on conference because I'm getting a lot of feedback in the back, so hang on a second. Okay, great question. Mike, with respect to Facebook, that would happen, there's a couple of reasons why that might happen. With the changes in the Facebook, it could be that if you changed some of the criteria in the Facebook ad, it could be, so that's going to have an impact. It could be the traffic, the keyword searches that you're using. There's a variety of different reasons why that Facebook ad. What you also wanted to take a look at is some of the other types of things that you're doing to systematize your business too, because Facebook ads, very mixed approaches, but focusing more on like lead generation to really target your market with a lead generation system, our permission-based marketing, as we called it, and I know, you know, you and I have been working together on yours, which is much more of an effective way to get people with that because, at least in my experience, it's not that Facebook ads don't work in as much as they would complement other things, but lead generation pages have been much more effective in conversion rates, especially when they're done on keyword phrases, because that's the solution or that's the problem that people are putting in the search engines, and so they're more apt to find you when you have built a site, lead generation site on that solution. So rather than having many different clicks from people that may or may not be interested in your services, lead generation rather, they can self-select and pre-qualify, yet it's based on the keyword search that they've put into a search engine, so you know for sure it's more targeted and it tends to be more of a better solution in terms of the dollars that are being spent on an advertisement, because any types of advertisements, you're going to have kind of a hit or miss, or you might have a lot of people clicking on it, but then it may or may not result in the conversion rates that you want. Now, there's things you can do to help convert, but again, that's kind of a hit or miss versus lead generation, which is built on a keyword phrase that has your targeted market in mind, is just a little bit more effective of an option. So I hope that answers your question. Okay. I think we're just about out of time. I want to thank everybody for coming on today's Q&A call. And if you have any other questions, again, feel free to email them. Or if anything came up today, or if I missed a portion of a question that you asked, then feel free to email me at info@accelerateassociates.com. Remember that we do have the next content call on July 13th, also at 4:30. And again, if you haven't scheduled your laser coaching call also for July 13th, please email us at info@accelerateassociates.com. I just also want to remind you, for those of you who came on the call late, remember July 14th to register for the free teleseminar that we're having, Get All the Clients You Need Automatically, the 7 Amazingly Simple Must-Have Strategies to Continuously Fill Your Prospect Pipeline. Again, if you have any questions too about lead generation that you need to ask as you're working through the lead generation checklist and getting that all implemented, feel free to email me again at info@accelerateassociates.com. Be happy to answer those questions on this call. Again, I want to thank everybody for coming on today's call, and join us for the Blog Talk Radio tomorrow at 9 a.m. I'm having Robert McPhee, who is going to talk about manifesting for non-gurus. It's going to be a really interesting conversation. He is the vice president in charge of training for the Jack Canfield Group. Jack Canfield, as you know, is the best-selling author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. So it's going to be an interesting conversation with Robert, and I want to take a listen, have a listen to it. So again, thank you all for coming today, and until next time, create a great life. Bye-bye.